welcome to Crafts and Crime. I'm Amy.
I'm Elaine.
And as always, we have a craft and a crime.
Woo, we do.
Yep. So we haven't recorded in a little while.
Yeah. Spring break for us.
Yeah. Yeah. We're officially back from spring break from the kids, or for the kids.
Yeah. On this day that we're recording.
Mm-hmm. But then we recorded, the last time we recorded was before your family came out.
Yeah. My mom, dad, and sister came, and it was really fun. And my mom and sister and Lenore and I went to Disneyland, and everybody's feet hurt and everyone wanted to cry. And I was like, I'm actually doing okay. I don't know what happened.
Didn't Crystal get like a bad blister on her pinky toe or something?
Yeah. It's just like an ongoing thing. And for so much of my like older adult life, if I knew I was going to walk a long way, I would like bandage both my pinky toes, and Crystal does the same thing. It's just the shape of our foot. It's odd.
Yeah.
And it's like wide, but also really narrow. So what ends up happening is like the heel cup ends up being loose almost no matter what. And so then so much of Disneyland, you know, we were so fortunate to get to go. Shout out to my pops, even though he's not listening to this. But yeah. And then mom, like, because, you know, lordy, the food prices. And so my mom, she covered all of that, which was awesome. And we were so lucky. And I was like, fuck, why does it hurt so bad?
Yeah.
It's hard work because it's all uphill. I mean, it's like downhill a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's so downhill.
So your feet are going into the toe of your shoe.
Constantly.
Yeah.
It's like a weird maze of you're going underground and then it's crazy. Mm-hmm. So you end up going downhill a lot. Sorry. And it was just really painful for her.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really good. It didn't rain this time.
Yeah. It was like supposed to rain or something. And then it like cleared up and it like sprinkled for a second and then like passed by you.
Mm-hmm. And then it became like beautifully sunny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we got a little bit of rain here. And I was like, I think it passed you guys.
Yeah,
we're further east and Disneyland's further west, northwest, right? I'm like trying to picture it on the map. I'm like, it's more west, we're more east, southeast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, so we got a little bit of rain. I was like, oh no, did you guys get rain?
And it was just a little smidgen, but it was fine.
And then, after Disneyland, then they were here for like the rest, like another week.
Yeah, like another week and a few days. And that was fun. We just kind of ran around. They helped me do my errands. It's always like a thing my parents like to do. And just
I know your dad's
out.
Like, Elaine always cons me into taking her to Home Depot.
Yeah, because he likes it.
He does.
It's his excuse to get to go
to
with
go to
me.
Home
it's something
Depot.
Him and I have always done.
Didn't he take you to Lowe's too?
No, we didn't end up going to Home Depot.
Right.
We ended up going to Lowe's because it's the one that it's the one that I like on GreenSpot.
Yeah,
and so it's always something. My dad, that's like his. It's his love language is like, you want to go to the store with me?
Yeah.
And ever since I was little, it was always something we did. And so I still like to do it. And, you know, it's cute because he has balance issues. So I could like hold his hand and help him walk across the street. Because last year when we went to Lowe's, he fell over and that was so scary. But he was okay. And so, you know, it's like that's always the way that him and I hang out when he's here is we go to the store.
Yeah. Well, then good thing that Figgy didn't get you when they were here.
Oh
before
my
Disneyland.
God!
Yeah, Elaine's dealing with a bad foot.
Stupid baby kitten. Yeah, he freaked out. He got spooked by one of the feral cats in the neighborhood, and because he's a baby and in his silly cat brain, when that cat went out of the line of his sight, I walked up behind him and he just like, and he like bit and scratched the hell out of the top of my right foot, and I was barefoot. And it was such a crazy fast, like as soon as he realized I was not a cat, you could tell that this like, moment he knew he had fucked up. And he let go and, you know, took off. But the took off was his nails ripping out of the top of my foot. And oh my God, like it bled so much. It was so bad. It was right at my front door.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that's maybe like 20, 30 feet from my bathroom, just around the corner down the hallway. And
like
Kurt was, he was on the couch and he was like, oh my God, are you okay? And it actually didn't hurt right away because it was insane.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, no. And there's like blood pouring down my foot because I'm kind of holding it up. So I'm just crying. It hurts so bad. And I was like, what the fuck? I was so scared. Hobbled to the bathroom, cleaned it all up. Next day, totally infected. We cleaned it so well. Betadine, hospital grade, antiseptic. Mm-hmm. I scrubbed it. Like, I know how dangerous that is. My mother-in-law got cat scratch fever from this, but it was an outdoor cat, but still.
Yeah, Figgy's still nasty. He's a nasty little kitten digging up a cat box and stuff.
So I'm like, oh my God. Thank goodness for those, like, telehealth.
Yeah.
I was so lucky. And the doctor was so sweet because I was freaking out. I was like, I'm so scared. And she looked, you know, you turn your video, you can't. Camera around well lit area, and she looked and she was just like,
oh. Yeah.
But she says, you know, you would not believe how common this is.
Yeah.
They're not bad cats for doing it. They freak out. He unfortunately responded in a way a cat would.
Yeah.
And if it was June or Johnny or Binks, he would have done the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And then they would have beat his ass.
Yeah.
So, you know, it sucks. I know it's really frustrating. It really hurts. It cost me money.
Yeah.
It was gross and scary. And it's something I really have to keep an eye on because,
But thankfully the antibiotics seem to be doing their job. It's not like it's super
it just hurts really bad, but it looks better.
It doesn't, you know, it doesn't look infected. Like when I saw it last,
it was so red and angry.
Yeah. It was just really puffy. Like the whole top of your foot's all puffy.
It's okay now.
And then
it hurts really bad. Still, but it looks better.
Yeah, you are. My broken. It's so crazy because she couldn't fit a shoe on, and
it
so
hurts so bad.
So you were shuffling around in like Kurt's slippers,
stepping
like,
on top of his slippers so I could just scooch.
Shimmy it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, I have my broken paint sandals
that you kept for some weird reason.
I don't know. It was meant to be.
Maybe you're like, maybe the right one will break. And then
I think I kept them because I was like, oh, I could just paint in them. Like I'll just use them to paint because I'm painting my house like on the inside. And so I had paint all over these, like, what are they called? They look like cheap, like Birkenstocks, but they're like that, the two buckle, like foam, whatever, like $10 Walmart sandals.
That EVA puffy foam.
Yeah. And so one of the buckles had fallen off by the toe on the right foot. So it like worked perfectly because it wasn't
like
the spot that is open.
So it's not pushing on it because that's the worst part. It was hilarious.
Yeah. So.
And then of course, Kurt was like, you want to go out? And I was like, dude, I am not going out in socks and busted sandals. Are you kidding? Plus, I can't actually put socks. It hurts so bad.
This much.
I tried to over the weekend, and it was like I already have
because it rained all weekend.
Yeah,
so it's
it
cold.
Was really shitty. We went to the store because I'm like, I can hobble around, I just have to go slow.
Yeah,
and I'm just like loaded up on ibuprofen. That's it. But we were like hobbling around. I was like, of course, this rain is like windy rain.
Yeah,
so it did not matter if you had an umbrella, it wouldn't have mattered. My feet would have still gone wet. It was crap.
So you were that Californian wearing the sandals in the rain.
Seriously.
Yeah. No. It. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if I didn't have an injured foot, it wouldn't have been a big deal. I would have been like, oh, my feet are getting wet in sandals. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it was nasty. It sucked.
I know. I was putting on my socks the other day and I was like, oh man, you probably can't even put on a sock.
So
like,
no, it hurts so bad. And sorry. Just like such a spaz, but all I kept thinking of is like my busted open foot and the filthy ass water because
The rainwater. I'm all wet water.
Yeah, because it was like flooding in the gutters and stuff.
Ew.
Oh, I was horrified. And Kurt and I went to one of my favorite places. It has a pirate name. I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
And
my pirate name.
Yeah, no, I was. And so we went to the store. We went in and I was like, this puddle is huge. I can't hop. I'm crippled. Like, I can't put any of that hopping pressure on my foot. Sorry, I just blew up your ears. But yeah, it was so crappy because he tried so hard no matter where we parked.
Yeah.
It was so wet and I was so afraid.
It rained a lot this weekend. Not so much on Sunday as much as Saturday. Saturday was really rainy.
But it was still sad because like all the Easter egg hunt signs, it was like canceled due to rain.
Oh, yeah,
it broke my heart.
That.
I felt so bad.
Yeah.
I hope they redo it. I mean, why couldn't they?
The kids were like, are there Easter eggs outside? Oh. And I'm like, nope, there's rain outside. And they got like all the outside stuff like chalk and bubbles and buckets and all and they couldn't go outside. I'm like, it's okay, like we'll just, so that's where they are right now outside with their chalk and stuff. But
fun,
like we'll see how long they've just been on one. Lately all my children have been on one, but other than your health stuff, your health foot My not healthy foot. I am just getting over, I think that's pretty sure it was a stomach ulcer. And yeah, that was pretty bad. It like took me out for most of the week. And and it started like I would say like by day five, because it was what, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Because it was right after my family left. And so I was like, you were just chilling because you were sick, and I was just decompressing, but not as much as we usually do.
Yeah, it started because we hung out on Sunday morning. That's when your parents, you know, everyone came over, you two, you know, came over for coffee. And then you guys went back next door, and then Crystal came on Sunday because we watched that anime.
Watched that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Mom and Crystal went and visited a family member.
Yes.
And my dad and I went to Lowe's.
Yeah, and then Crystal, we watched an anime.
Then they came back, Crystal popped over, and I just
So then Monday morning they left, and Monday I was not feeling good. And our landlords had to come to look at the roof because we need a whole new roof, and I was dying. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I could do this. And thankfully I got through it. But then by Tuesday it was really, really bad. And so I had to do like the e-visit and stuff. And
thank
she was
goodness
like, okay.
for those phone doctor appointments.
And I did it on video so I could show her where it hurt. And she was like, it might be your gallbladder. Let's do an ultrasound and let's go do blood work. And I'm going to, and I'm like, can you just like prescribe some? I think I know what it is.
Yeah.
And so she did. She prescribed some medication for like to coat my stomach and the ulcer or whatever. And I know that's what it is because like, you know, my friend Mariah, she's getting her gallbladder out. And then Jack's dad had his out. I'm like,
Crystal has hers out.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is not a gallbladder issue.
Mom has hers out. I'm like, everybody on my side of the family pretty much ends up getting it out.
And I was like, nope, I know what to look for with that. And this isn't it. And so the medication helped. But I think it was like crazy because I, between the ulcer and then like I had tapered off all my like medication. And then like I hadn't had like any wine at all, and I like usually will have like a little bit every day, and I like totally didn't. I like went cold turkey off everything.
You went no caffeine.
No caffeine.
To get rid of all the acids.
Yeah, I got rid of all.
The diet is just boring.
Everything I got
nothing
rid of.
Fried
everything.
As everything as bland as humanly possible.
I literally
basically
had a breakfast of like saltine crackers. I was so miserable, and like I ate like a little baby birdie. I was so scared to eat anything. And then it's like, now I'm getting better. Yeah. And so it's just, you know, eating fermented fruit. Like I have my kombucha and then eating protein and stuff. And so I was like, well, it's a good kickstart to my diet. You know,
it's a very healthy cleanse.
Yeah. So a lot of changes health-wise over here for me. And then I guess last in this chit-chat a little bit in the beginning is I guess the biggest change is now I've homeschooled my kid, all my kids, all four. I mean, Lillian technically isn't like in school yet.
She's in
like
pre-K.
Pre-K. Yeah. She's not TK. She's like she's four.
She's doing worksheets and stuff.
Yeah. She does schoolwork and reads books and stuff with us. But so I've homeschooled all my kids since 2012, I believe. Wait, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. 2012. So that, you know, includes Troy, and he's got 2 years left of high school because he did kindergarten. Like I homeschooled him and then I put him in public school for kindergarten. So he had that socialization. So because his birthday was that weird cutoff where it's like, he could be really the youngest or like the oldest. It's
Lenore
the
ended
weird
up being the youngest. And
yeah.
She hates
and so
it.
Troy's the oldest and I don't really think he cares. So anyway, so he's finishing up 10th grade and we just made the decision to put him in public school at the high school. And I'm excited for him. It's necessary, I think, for him. And
it'll be fun to get those experiences that you get in high school. Kind of the rest is like, I don't know. I think the high school experience, even though it can suck.
Uh-huh. Like, that's what I was like, he could get 2 years out, do half of high school in public school. But it's just weird because like he did public school, kindergarten, first grade, and I pulled him out after that. And so at that point, I was already homeschooling Avery, and so pulled him out. And so I've been, homeschooling pretty much straight. I think I took a year break, and so it's just weird. But I still have Avery and, you know, Link and Lily homeschooling, but it's just a little weird. And to think, you know, I made it this far, and it's not I'm giving up. It's just like I'm handing him off. Like, you deal with the difficult years, because I'm like, he doesn't want to listen to me anymore, or Jack. And so, but I'm excited. They do have a really good automotive
program. Yeah, their tech and automotive is like the best in the area.
Yeah, and that's what he wants to do, or what cool. we kind of narrowed it down to. And yeah. so it's walking distance. They have a really mm-hmm. good automotive program. I think it's like this career technical
yes.
certification, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
you do like so many credits, and it's what you earn at the end.
Yeah.
Pretty bitchin'.
But he needs to get his grades up. And so that's where I'm like, I kind of, today was the day that I left it on him of like, I'm putting my hands up. I'm like, you know exactly what's required the last couple months of school. I can't hold your hand anymore, and I'm releasing you to the wild, you know? So it's kind of up to him, and that determines if he does summer school or not. So it's just been school stuff. And then Avery, you know, she's, I don't think I told you, when Scarlett was over, Scarlett was telling me about school and how, like, mm-hmm. she's doing this program and that, and, like, she got all A's and stuff, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, awesome, and then I was like, oh, she was asking about Troy's GPA and stuff, and so I was looking at progress, and Avery, I was like, what the hell? Why is your English progress at 99% in a cellus? She's mm-hmm. like, 99. She's like, oh, yeah, I just thought, like, I just finished it for the year.
Like, where are we at right now? April, May, June? There's not much left. No. So that's awesome.
They only have, like, because they're, I don't even know what hers, I know what Troy's progress is. I don't even know what the girl's is, but yeah, so school's just been weird lately, but.
That's
yeah,
fun.
it's because it's spring. It's coming up to the end of the year.
It's hard to chug along. You're like barely 2.5 months, and yeah. that's including the weekends. Like, and mm-hmm. then it's done for the year, and it's that like, we're trudging. We have state testing coming up this month.
I never did the 360 the star testing.
Mm. Did you ask your friend?
Nah. Yeah, I talked to her today. She never said anything. Oh well, maybe we're on a different schedule.
Maybe. I don't even know.
We're always like the last minute, like, oh, okay, sit down and do this. And
they
like,
do whatever. Another one at the end of the year anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter. So, yeah, we have state testing coming beginning. Up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot about state yep. testing.
Beginning and then
California state testing.
State testing.
Not all states do state.
Do all states do state testing? Yeah. Well, I think a lot
Tell
of
us,
them do.
Do y'all do state testing in high school? High school. Oh, my God. In school? Any school? Because yeah. we do yeah. state testing and I hate it. It's so stupid.
Yeah, but we do have the option to opt out, but we don't because it's not good for the school.
No, it's horrible for school funding.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, it's not, you know, it's not graded like people think it is either. So it seems like such a stressful thing. They just mm-hmm. want to see where everyone is at and how hard the school and the stuff is working.
But you think just look at everyone's grades.
Right. And that's fucking, it's not a good judgment. Like, that's the thing that's really sad.
Sometimes don't test okay.
Exactly.
You know?
And that, and you know, it doesn't reflect the ability of the teacher or the school, because school continues at home
mm-hmm.
and not everybody has the time, the resources, single parent, double parents, double jobs, mm-hmm. like, you know, and that makes it very difficult to continue. So if their tests show up badly, it reflects like on the school, and it's just bullshit. Yeah. It's so
is
dumb.
Is the school like on, you know, like when you go on Zillow or Trulia, man, we're really chit-chatting a lot, but whatever, whatever. You're welcome.
I'll put it on the Instagram socials. If you don't want to hear us talk, looks like 25 minutes.
But, you know how like on Zillow and stuff, when you're looking up a house and mm-hmm. then it'll show you the like school
oh,
nearby
okay.
and uh-huh. like here, I'll look up.
Oh, and what is our closest
that house
like
that just sold for like half a million by
God,
us?
I know. It'll be, yeah, so it'll tell you like what is the zoning for what your school
yeah,
would be.
Yeah, here, the great schools rating. Oh. I'm like, see,
you can't
I
you
don't
just
go
can't,
off of that because
no.
look at what's by us.
Oh, I don't know what those
254? Like
yeah, four, I'm like, but I mean, really? The high school's still okay. And the thing is, really, it is very sad because you just can't believe those. You have to go and see for yourself. I totally want to go to orientation with
yeah.
you if Troy's cool with it.
Yeah,
I would love
I don't think
to.
He cares because depending on Jack's work schedule, if it's later in the day, he can't
yeah.
go, or if it's early in the
It'd
morning.
It'd be cool then. If Lenore could see it too, because that's
yeah.
where she might
I know,
end
I was,
up.
I was thinking about the same thing with Avery.
Oh my God. And then they'll go to school together and he'll yeah. pick on her and she'll pretend they
I know,
don't
we were
know
talking about
other.
That because Troy's senior year would be mm-hmm. Lenore's freshman year. Yeah. And then Lenore and Avery would be in school for 3 years together.
Yeah, eventually by the next
Avery's
year.
Avery's like
if
a year
decided.
Behind. Yeah. So I'm kind of leaning more towards that, but it's just weird. And then, trust me, today, it's a little scary.
Because high school sucks. Whether you were a homeschooled kid going into high school or a junior high, it's all the same shitty experience.
All kids are
weird. It can be wonderful, but I'm just meaning, like, it's the same for every child. And it doesn't matter, like, it's crazy how people talk about homeschool kids being under socialized and I'm like, they have friends they talk to all the time, and then
talk your ear off,
and they hang out with us and their cousins who are older than them, like, because we are a family that have friends that have been around for like decades.
Yeah.
So they've grown up with their own friends and our family members and friends being older than them. It's just how it is
with homeschoolers. That I think is a big misconception is the socialization, but it's like, I think, and I'm not saying this is not true for school, you know, public school kids or private school kids, but in general, like when you get together with a homeschool group or homeschool friends, there's all ages. You got the mom that has the, like me, I had the high schooler, the preschooler, the, you know, the middle schooler, all that. And then like the baby, it's like, it's, and your high schooler knows how to interact with all ages from like newborn and up. You know, because they're just around that all the time and around all their friends. And so,
yeah,
that could be the same for anybody. But this is on a more like, you know, this
personal experience.
This is my experience. Yeah, yeah. Because it's like I could have a friend over and she's got, you know, a baby and then like a middle schooler. Mm-hmm. And then, well, her, you know, her daughter's older, Troy's age. But it's just like,
and everybody happily plays along together. Yeah, because they, even if like, you know, Lenore is the youngest, so she doesn't have a baby sibling, but she works really well with Lincoln Lillian.
Yeah.
And, you know, because she doesn't, it's not every single day she has that around.
Yeah.
And so it's cute because with Troy, she has like the older brother experience of noogies and fart jokes. And
I know, she's like, my head hurts. Yeah. Like, why? And Troy kept giving me noogies. It's like, well, that's a cousin for you.
Right. And so it's really like, it's cute because it tends to be like homeschool children. If they're like essentially in an only child household or whatever, they are not only around themselves.
Yeah.
There ends up being,
that's the thing with like Lenore being homeschooled. It's like she, yeah, she's home alone, but then it's like she comes over here and she's got to deal with the high schooler, the kid her age, and then the two little ones.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Anyway, sorry, y'all. We went off for like 20 minutes.
It's been a while.
There's a lot.
Like, we haven't recorded in a while.
Well, that, so. And there's just been a lot of big changes. Like, health stuff is always big. And then, you know, family coming out, that's big. And then just big changes. And like I said, I've been homeschooling for over 10 years. What is that? 12 years now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's 2024.
So essentially for you, it would be the same feeling that like a parent has of a high schooler going to college. Like that first big separation.
It very much feels like that in a lot of ways, because I've been the one helping guide him, and I know, and I was explaining, it's like, I know what he's learning. I can see what work needs to be done, because like he has this, the online program, but it's like I can log in and I can see all that. Now I'm going to be detached from all that. So it is kind of like sending a kid off, because I am sending him off. I'm like, you're going to go walk to school. I'm not going to drive you 2 blocks to school. Like, you're just going to walk.
Right. Yeah,
you know, and
it's a nice walk too. Super simple. It's not crazy. The only thing is that Frogger intersection that he's going to have to take.
Yeah.
We should. Well, he's going to have to walk
all the way to the
crossing car.
Right, well, there. He needs to just, go to that one intersection right there at the end. But so it is like, it's a, I wouldn't say I cried, but I cried. It's just so anyways, we'll move on. I'm sorry. But like, no, I feel like if you've been here since the beginning, we're coming up on a year. This is not the 1 year episode. I think we should probably, no, it's not. It's the one coming out next week.
We'll double check. And if it is, we're going to flip them around.
It's not. We will know. Because I'll have to tell you after we record, I did something on Google Docs for the podcast.
Okay.
I'm working behind the scenes on a lot of stuff, but yeah, so, let's see. Yeah, so we're not on a year, but if you've been with us for a year, you know our lives, you know who we are, you know our kids. It's like, this is a big update. Well, for me at least. And then, you know, we're healthy. We're okay. Yeah. We're getting through.
And if we'll survive. You don't want to hear all this part, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
I know some listeners are here only for the craft segment and don't listen to the crime segment, section, and vice versa. And so, you know, it's not going to hurt our feelings. Not like we'd know anyway, but, you know, if you got to skip through, go ahead. It's fine.
I know. I know, me personally, I like listening to chit chat because I feel like if you listen to someone on a weekly basis, you're like, oh, it almost feels like I know you and mm-hmm. you're my friend and da da da. So.
And also if they just all of a sudden are like, oh yeah, you know, baby so and so, you're like, wait a minute. Yeah. You had a baby?
Exactly.
And that has literally happened in one of the podcasts I listened to. I missed a whole bunch of episodes, and then which is completely their prerogative. They don't have to tell anyone, but it's just bananas because obviously they had told people.
At some point, yeah.
But that's what I thought, and it ended up not being that. They hadn't told anyone. That was like the reveal. And the baby was like 6 months old. Oh. I was like, damn, that's cool. That's Can you imagine?
No. I couldn't. No, I probably wouldn't be able to because I'd be like, hello and welcome to whoops and cry. Yeah. You know, because I was so sick with all my.
That's true.
Nope, I'm done with babies. No baby surprises here.
Let's hear your craft.
Yes, but your we craft. Will move on. My craft.
Your craft. Let me hear your craft.
Okay, so I know I texted you about this and I was like, I can't believe I typed so much about this topic.
I believe it. Your attention to detail is pretty awesome. Mine is like, here, this is the shit right here. And if you want to hear more, you're really into it, go look at all the stuff. Like I told you where it is.
No, once I get into something, I just kind of roll with it. And that's so good. On Saturday when it was raining and the guys, you know, went out, the guys left, mm-hmm. the guys, meaning like my husband and two of his friends, went to a brewery and I started typing up the rest of my, craft and they came back like 3 hours later and I was still working on it. But I did have to take stops.
I had stops.
Because I had kids and they are loud. Right. So my craft, almost 30 minutes in, it's not a long one. I'll try. Well, it is.
It's a long. It's not. It's only eight pages.
It's pillows.
Oh, cool. So it's like, I love it. Okay.
I can't believe I. And so, this
was one of the first things I ever learned to sew in Girl Scouts.
Really?
Yes. I was in like second grade.
Yeah.
It's like the simple. It's so easy. Sorry. You were going to talk about it. But
no,
yeah.
Don't you dare tell how you did it.
Shut up.
I know. No, it's so easy. And that's why I was like, it is a craft. You can make your own decorative pillow.
I love it.
So of course it's not just like how to make a pillow. Cause like think about how you make a pillow, look at a pillow. That's how you make it.
Decorations. We've talked about a few of our crafts that tie in.
Yeah. So, awesome. Yeah, there's a lot. So picture your pillow. So this came to me. I was literally laying in bed trying to fall asleep with my upset tummy and I'm like miserable and I can't get comfortable because my pillow was bugging me. And so I was like, dang, I wish I could get a different pillow or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's a craft. And so I like got my phone and I typed in pillow. And so, yeah. So my pillow is adjustable. It's like got that shredded memory foam in it. And so it's kind of expensive. It's like Coop brand or whatever on Amazon. I think it's like $60 or something, but it like comes overstuffed with shredded memory foam and you can take it out to adjust your pillow to like whether you want it softer or more firm. Mm-hmm. And then you can like toss it in the dryer when it gets a little flat. So I'm like, that's probably what I need to do. But Jack always has an issue with pillows. We have gone through in like almost, we've been together almost 20 years. This year will be, what, 18 years? And that man and his pillows, he's gone through so many pillows. And I finally was like, I'm going to buy you the adjustable pillow that I have. Because it's like, don't complain it's too flat, put more in it. But don't complain it's too much, take some out. Yeah. It's adjustable.
You'll find the Goldilocks when eventually.
He doesn't like it. He won't use it. So, and he says, I'm stubborn. So, and they're not cheap either. So, anyways. As you said, you made a pillow. It was one of the first things.
Yeah.
So Shannon sent me a picture of this pillow. I will post it on our socials. I saved it into my favorites.
Cute.
She's like, do you remember making this for me?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, no. So but then I looked at the fabric. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I remember some of that fabric. It's basically just like a cheesy little rectangle. You can't even call it a pillow. It's so flat. It's just like a little decorative thing.
It's a
thing.
Pad.
It's a pad.
Yeah. Like a decorative pad.
To put on your bed. Yeah. And you can see I hand sewed it.
Cute.
And I cut out
It's like a little whip stitch.
Yeah, it is. And so I cut out different patterned fabric and to her name, you know, Shannon, with a little heart, and sewed it on there. So like anyone can make a pillow, but apparently I made a pillow and I forgot about it, and she was like, do you remember this? I'm like, I made it in like elementary school. I'm like, no.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
She's like, well, who else would have made
it? Has it like flooded back in your memory now of making it? Oh,
well,
okay,
seeing the patterns of like, yeah, so Anyways, it's, yeah, so I made her a little decorative pillow. So, anyways, so we all know what a pillow is, what it's used for. You know, you can have, you know, your pillow you sleep with or decorative ones. And so there's a ton of different pillows. And, you know, don't think of pillows like you go and you just buy one to sleep with or put one on your couch or a throw pillow. There are body pillows, like big long ones, pregnancy pillows that are like curved, like, and then there's a boppy pillow, like the one for nursing or like just feeding your baby a bottle to like help keep it, like it goes around your midsection like a U, like a horseshoe. There's neck pillows, sex pillows, you know, the list goes on. There's so many different pillows. There's orthopedic pillows, donut pillows you sit on if you have like a hemorrhoid or like an injury to your tailbone or like so lumbar pillows, which is probably what I need right now to support your lower back. And
is that hunched over here like
just like Quasimodo? So yeah, list goes on. So a pillow is basically just an envelope, like pillowcase, that is filled with stuffing. And the stuffing's usually made of natural materials like, you know, cotton, like it's, most of them are even down. But now, you know, with advancements and, you know, materials, you can have synthetic fibers like acrylic stuffing. And so according to Wikipedia, the word pillow comes from Middle English pill, P-I-L-W-E, pillow. The word pillow comes, so the Old English pile, akin to Old High German, I should have asked Jack. P-F-U-L-I-W-I. Fluffy.
That sounds cute.
And from Latin, pulvinus. The first known use of the word pillow was before the 12th century. So everyone had their own little like word for pillow. So in history, let's go like way, way back to prehistoric times. We can see that mammals would use their arms as pillows to rest their head. And they would also, like, lay their head on each other. So we always, like, wanted to, like, lay and, you know, like...
Sorry, you can see my face. I totally just saw that video on Facebook of the red panda. And it was like, did you know red pandas use their tails as a pillow? Oh, and they, like, kind of curl around curl like a cat up. Does. Yeah. But they grab it and they pull and, like, it under and then tuck their face down and hide their little face. That's
so cute. So, yeah, like, animals...
they know what's up.
Yeah. They're like, I'm all be comfy. So, like, you know, you think, yeah, I don't need a pillow. I just will lay my head on, like, Jack's shoulder. Or, like, you know, you lay down your head on someone's lap. So, basically, it's, you know, mammals do this. And they always have. So, like, because we've always wanted to think about it. Like, your head, your neck, like, you got to have some support. Otherwise, if you're flat on the ground, it's like your neck's going to hurt. So, animals and humans in history have used various objects such as wood and stone as pillows or cushions. Around 5 and 23 million years ago, so a long time ago, tree-dwelling great apes started building sleeping platforms and used wooden pillows where they slept. And there are studies that were done on chimpanzees that slept for 8 to 9 hours at night that used ironwood pillows. I had to look up what ironwood is. It's basically a type of wood. It could be from different trees that has a density that is heavier than water. So it's like, it's really durable.
So it's going to, like, it's gonna so last. Heavy it would sink.
It's like, it's going to just, it's a durable piece of wood. Yeah. And so it's not going to, like, wear down with you, like, rubbing your head on it or
getting rained on constantly because of, like, rainforest.
It's not going to get all warped and stuff. So
this
type of pillow that the chimpanzees were using actually helped them not fall out of trees while they were sleeping. It, like, created a lot of support for their, like, neck. So they weren't just all dangling everywhere.
Yeah, that makes sense, because if you kind of would, like, loop over it, it's going to give you, like, a wider like center of balance side to side.
So it push. Well, they had these little platforms and this, like, piece of wood, so it really kept them, like, secure in the trees. And not only that, but think about it, they have, like, larger brains, and so this extended their sleep time, so they had, like, REM sleep, so it's better for their brains.
Yes.
It's like, how do we figure this out? I don't know. But science. Pillows, they needed pillows. So now we go on to more recent times as it relates to, like, humans, and pillows have been around since ancient times, and they serve different purposes depending on the culture and the era. And the first use of pillows dates back to Mesopotamia around 7000 BC. And these early pillows were carved out of stone into, like, a cradle shape that were used to, like, elevate the head, like, off the ground. so insects wouldn't crawl into the sleeper's mouth, nose, or ears. Gross. Like, you're not just, like, on the ground and, like, a spider crawls in your mouth.
Yeah.
Blah.
Ew.
And obviously it helped to reduce, like, shoulder, neck, and back pain that would happen if you were, like, just sleeping flat on the floor.
Yeah.
And so because stone was expensive, these pillows obviously were just used by the wealthy people that can afford to just carve out these stone bananas. Pillows.
My expensive rock pillow.
Yeah. And the number of rock pillows that they had, it was used as like a status symbol. Like, I've got a lot of pillows. Yeah. So, because like they had money to make pillows.
Yeah.
And they, like, there's a bunch of.
But I guess
pillows.
Really to like. Hewn and sculpt a big boulder that's going to be big enough for your head to neck.
Yeah, because these are huge. Like,
yeah,
you
and
know,
it's going to
like,
have to be a lot of work to make it soft. Mm-hmm. I guess that kind of makes sense, but that's still funny.
Yeah, you're going to have some crazy what artisan that's symbols. Like, I'm the pillow carver.
And I bet you they would like carve designs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get into that because there are some cultures that do. So as we know, ancient Egyptians also used pillows, but for a different reason. And they believed that the head was the seat of spiritual life and should be cherished. So Egyptian pillows were made of marble, ivory, ceramic, wood, or stone. And they were placed under the heads of the living and the dead to protect them from evil spirits. So pillows were actually found in Egyptian tombs that dated back to the 11th dynasty. And this is between 2055 to 1985 BC. It's always weird when I say BC because it goes backwards.
Yes, it's, but yeah, it's so really, it's, my brain doesn't want to do it.
No. So 2055 and 1985 BC.
Okay.
So then we also have the Greeks and the Romans, and they were the first to introduce the soft pillow.
Oh.
And they used pillows made of cloth that were filled with natural materials like cotton, reed, straw, feathers. And the wealthy used pillows filled with soft down feathers. Which, like, Crystal would die.
Oh, God.
She can't do it. She's allergic to it.
We're pretty sure the hotel had down bedding. We were all not breathing.
I'm like, as my whole bed's, like, down. I used to have a whole down couch. Down feather couch.
Yes,
goose,
I remember
goose
that.
Goose down feather couch. Anyways, so they used down feathers. And the wealthy did because they could afford it. And so not only were these pillows used for sleeping, but also for, like, reclining on couches or, like, you know, sitting during meals or like we do, just sit on the couch with a pillow. And people in ancient Europe started to use pillows actually in church for kneeling while praying and also to place holy books on. And this is still done today.
Yeah.
The Romans and Greeks also used pillows under the head of the deceased, just like the Egyptians did. So so kind of taking it back to Egyptian times, it still plays out here. And I mean, we still do that. You know, you have a person that you lay to rest and they have a pillow under their head.
Yeah, it's very cushiony so that they can go in comfort.
So after the fall of the Roman Empire, soft pillows became like super rare and people just couldn't afford them. And
so crazy.
I know, I think a pillow.
Was but I guess again, like the talking about fabric and paper products and stuff, like those weren't an easy thing to make.
No.
So for comfort, like anything soft was going to take a, it was going to be a really long
process.
Probably
focusing more on like clothing than
right.
like just bundling up like a blanket rather than like a paying money for a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
So because they were so, you know, unaffordable after the fall of the Roman Empire, it once again became like a status symbol. It's like only the wealthy could, you know, have it. So during King Henry the 8th.
Roman numerals.
Yeah,
right?
I know. I'm like, I had to do 5, 6, 7, 8. King Henry the 8th. During his reign, he banned soft pillows for everyone except pregnant women.
What a pal.
I know. So you
he didn't, you know, he didn't really love women.
I pretend I was pregnant so much. But I need my pillow. I'm pregnant again.
Oh, no.
I don't know why, but I guess it's like, yeah. But anyways.
Yeah.
So by the 16th century, soft pillows had like had another resurgence. It became more common. And the stuffing had to be changed due to like mold and vermin.
Yeah.
So,
gross.
Yeah. Now we're going to go to ancient China. This was like the most interesting to me.
Okay.
So pillows were also considered sacred and were used to enhance health and well-being. However, the Chinese preferred hard pillows made of porcelain, bamboo, wood, bronze, or jade.
Hmm.
And there was usually like a soft fabric placed over it. And they believed that soft pillows were a luxury that would sap the body of energy.
Oh.
I'm like, I don't know.
Like when you sleep too much and yeah, wake up too I tired, guess. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. So,
like, why can't I sleep for 18 hours and call it good for 2 days?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I so typed this wrong. I see it. My typo, I don't even know what I tried to type. I typed so fast because I was like really into it.
Yeah.
I typed, some Chinese pillows even had speakers. Nope. Whoa. Nope.
Damn.
No, they had something. They had spices or that's what it was. Spices, okay. Not speakers, or herbal pouches inside to. Oh, no. I think it's talking about like now. Wait, I got so lost because, like, it says some Chinese pillows even have speakers or herbal pouches inside to play soothing sounds or release pleasant aromas. That's current. Sorry. I copied and pasted that into the wrong area.
That's okay.
When I was moving things around. So, I guess now. But, yeah. So, now it's in Chinese pillows. They think of aromatherapy and the jade and all the symbolism behind that and stuff. You know, just... Oops. I'll get into that too.
Okay.
So the first ceramic pillow was found to have been made in the Sui dynasty between 581 and 618 BC, obviously. Then pillows began to be produced on a larger scale in the Tang dynasty between 618 and 1907. And this is when pillows became really decorative. Like you were saying, oh, they're probably painted and stuff. Yes, they were really decorative. Made into different shapes, painted with pictures of animals, humans, plants. And Sisu, C-I-Z-H-O-U, Sisu,
whatever. I think that's about right. I think it's like Sisu.
Yeah, where it's a type of ceramic pottery art form. It was like really popular at this time. That's a whole other, like, that could be a whole episode on itself because it's really cool. But it was really common at this time, so they use that in a lot of their pillows. Mm-hmm. So the ceramic pillows were really common in the Song, Jin, and Yuan dynasties between the 10th and 14th century, and then it slowed down during the I remember learning about this in all the different dynasties, the Ming and King Qing dynasties between 1368 and 1911, and then better pillows were made. But Chinese rock pillows were really important in ancient China, and the ones that were made of jade were, this was what I thought was really cool, the ones that were made of jade were believed to translate the energy from the stone to the human brain.
Yeah.
It's kind of like stone healing and stuff.
I get it.
Yeah. And the jade pillow that originated in the Ming Dynasty was used and believed to cure headaches and depression, as well as to better the intelligence of those that used it.
It was probably pressure points.
Probably. I bet you.
Pushing at the base of the skull always.
Like, we were like, massage my cerebellum, whatever. Yes. Back here. It's like, oh, I'm like, oh, yep.
Massage my brain stem.
Yeah. So, fun fact, rock pillows are still commonly used during the hot summer months in China.
Oh, I bet they still all cool.
Yeah. Oh, I would totally lay on a stone pillow. But it's like curved. It's like pretty.
Yeah.
So I'll post pictures. We will post pictures. So then the pillow obviously became a common household item in the 19th century. Industrial Revolution brought the biggest change for pillows with the mass production of like affordable fabrics and textiles, and basically anyone could get their hands on a soft pillow. It's like easy to make. People stuffed their pillows with whatever was available, like hay, chicken feathers, goose down.
Chicken feathers are pretty soft.
Yeah, they are. And especially if you're raised, you have a farm, you might have some sheep, like wool, whatever was available. It's just like you get a piece of fabric, any fabric that's soft enough. You could probably use a flour sack if you were desperate enough, and just you sew it. It's like just a rectangle, and then you stuff it. It's like you can literally take a pillowcase, an empty pillowcase, and stuff it with stuff, and there you got a pillow.
Genius. Like,
so during the Victorian era, decorative pillows, like we were talking about, for couches and chairs began to show up in homes among the wealthy. They were the ones that could afford the pretty ones. And these were embellished with embroidery, lace, ribbons, tassels, and, you know, just made all pretty. And then in the
it was all done by hand, not a machine. So like, that meant somebody took hours and hours and hours and hours, and they probably made the tassels by hand. Like, this is a, I get why it would be a luxury item, but it's still like,
it is, because it's like you got to pay for someone's work. And so, So then in the 20th century, pillows were more diverse. because we have synthetic materials like polyester, foam, memory foam, like I have.
Yeah.
You know, you just use whatever. And they're more durable. They give more support. They're more hygienic than like some of the other fillings. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, we have all different types of pillows that were then invented. Like I said, the neck pillows, the contour pillows, the, you know, body pillows, pregnancy pillows, all these things to like a pillow for whatever you need, even mm-hmm. if you need to sit on it for your butt, you know. So,
yeah.
There are some parts of the world where pillows actually, I'm like getting to the end now. I'm like, it's long, but it's not that long. I got really into it. But so there are some parts of the world where pillows have a cultural significance, which I thought was interesting. In Japan, the dakimakura is a type of hugging pillow. And these hugging pillows have anthropomorphic. I have problems with words. And zoomorphic. What's the word? Zoomorphic?
That is actually giving me a hard time. I have to visually see it.
Zoomorphic qualities. Okay. As well as pop culture references. These provide psychological support.
Waifu pillows.
and then in Indonesia, the guling is a long hugging pillow, and it actually originates from the Philippines. And this is also known as the husband or boyfriend pillow. And this is just a high, I know what you're probably thinking, but it's just a high back pillow with two arms. And you use it to, like, if you're sitting on the floor or on the bed for support.
Oh, my God. I totally remember those. Like, the bolster props.
Yeah, it's just the little, like, the little high back and then the little arms.
Those are ridiculously expensive now.
Really?
Yes. Even at Walmart, they're, like, $45.
Really? I got one when I was pregnant.
I'm telling you, everything's more expensive.
Well, you could find them, like, on Amazon and, like, Walmart, whatever. You could find them called, like, reading pillows because it's, like, usually you just sit up. It just creates support. And you got, like, a little armrest. If you're wanting to make a pillow, like we said, it's super easy. You just need fabric, stuffing, scissors, pins, sewing machine, needle, whatever. You just cut two squares or rectangles and you just sew at least, you know, three of those edges together and you stuff it and then you can close it up to make like a decorative pillow or whatever. And that's it. It's that simple. Just picture. Look at the pillow on your bed or the pillow on your couch. It's. Look at the seams. You're just sewing a square. You're sewing a rectangle. You're stuffing it, and that's it. So, yeah, you can easily make a pillow. You can embroider it, make it all pretty, whatever. But, yeah, so I was like, I made a pillow. You can make a pillow. So that's basically pillows, but this is what I was really excited about. I have a lot of fun facts. Because I didn't know where to put this in.
Okay.
So it's like, there's the history of pillows. There's everything of pillows. But now I have fun facts. And it's not a lot. It's just, I'm really excited.
Oh, I.
Okay. So did you know that at some hotels you can get a pillow menu?
Oh.
Yeah. It's exactly what it sounds like. You can choose the pillow you want, such as like memory foam, like hypoallergenic, down, whatever. And at some hotels you can even get it for like specific conditions, like for headache or stress. So like. Like infused with like lavender or whatever. Yeah. So I don't know what hotels, but next hotel, do you have a pillow menu?
That's a motel so six.
They're like, no.
I'm like, we'll be lucky if the pillows don't have bed bugs.
Yeah.
Dream big.
Okay. So then the rest of this is all about pillow fights.
Oh my God.
Because I couldn't talk about pillows without pillow fights.
That was so funny.
So. Pillow fights became really common in flash mobs. I'm like, remember when flash mobs was a huge thing?
Yes.
And like people just come out and like start a big pillow fight and just like start hitting each other with pillows. Could you imagine if it was like the Chinese jade pillow? Like whack!
Oh my God.
Like in a pillowcase. It's a pillow, I swear.
Wait, how would you hide a pillow in a flash mob though? Everybody's just walking you're around big, with pillows?
You're fat? I don't know. Pregnant?
We'll have to look it up. We'll have to see if we can find a video.
It's in a backpack. I guarantee. I think I've seen it where it's like it's in a backpack or it's
whip
like,
it out.
Yeah. And just like, or it's like in a purse, in a tote bag or something. Nice. So, yeah. All these like flash mob.
Especially like think of the way we get stuff like delivered. It's like vacuum sealed. It wouldn't be that hard.
Could you imagine? It's like, it's like, wait, it's flat like a pancake. Give me a second.
Like shaking it out.
Yeah. You gotta fluff it.
I'll be ready in 10 minutes.
Okay, give me a few.
Suggested 24 hours for full inflation. We have the worst allergies right now.
I know.
I keep coughing.
Okay, so. Sorry. WWE would occasionally stage pillow fight matches between female wrestlers, known as divas. This, of course, happened in the early 2000s. And they, of course, had very little clothing on. It was most basically just girls in lingerie, and barely any wrestling took place. They just hit each other with pillows. And the last match of this took place in 2008.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's been a while. We're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
Yeah, about 8 years. It's like about then. So March 22nd, 2008 was the first World Pillow Fight Day, and 5,000 people participated. That's I'm like, fun. Now we know, March 22nd. Oh, we just passed that.
Oh, farts.
So, yeah. Guinness, this is cool. The Guinness World Record for the largest pillow fight was in July 2015 at a St. Paul Saints baseball game, where 6,261 people participated, and the event was sponsored by MyPillow.
Oh, God.
Then this record was broken in May 2018 at an evangelical Christian concert in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where 7,861 people participated. And this event was also sponsored by MyPillow. So two world records beat their own world
That's
record.
Funny.
Okay. And then the last one is my favorite one. And I want your brain to work in this because you know movies better than me.
Oh.
So pillow fights have been popular in movies. Uh-huh. So this is according to Mojo Jojo. Mojo Jojo. Not Mojo Jojo. Watch Mojo.
Mojo Jojo.
He's waiting. No. No. Sorry.
Noise.
I knew I was going to do that because I kept, after I said watch you can't Mojo, not hear. I kept saying Mojo Jojo. No. So stupid. It's not Mojo Jojo.
Watch
it
Mojo.
Was my Watch Mojo.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm just picturing it with this voice.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. According to Watch Mojo, the top 10 movie pillow fights are, and I'll go into detail in like the last five. Number 10, Flash Gordon, 1980. Have you ever seen that one? And number,
hell yeah, of course I have.
The pillow fight?
Savior of the universe.
Oh my gosh. So there's a pillow fight in there. Number 9, Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, 2012. Mm. Number 8, Street Dance 2, from 2012. Number 7, Annie, the 1982 movie. Number 6, Little Nicky. 2000 with Adam Sandler.
I'm asleep. Or am I?
See, I knew you would. Like, I gotta have this in here. Number 5, The Room. 2003 with Tommy Wiseau.
I did not hit her.
I did not.
Oh, hi, March.
So Tommy Wiseau is an actor, and his character Johnny, his girlfriend Lisa, and their teenage neighbor Danny have a pillow fight.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, it's so weird. It's like, it's so cheesy.
It's weird.
Oh, it's so cheesy. I love it. Okay, number 4, National Lampoon's Animal House, 1978, where John Belushi's character like looks into the sorority window to see the pillow fight, and all the girls are like topless, and they're all doing like the pillow fight. Yeah.
Very 80s.
Yeah. I literally wrote, he witnessed a pillow fight as well as some boobies.
Boobies.
Okay, number 3, Scary Movie 4, 2006, with Playboy Bunnies, Holly, Bridget, and Kendra. They have a pillow fight.
Oh, okay.
Number 2, Shanghai Nights from 2003 with Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson, where Jackie Chan's character organizes a pillow fight. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that movie.
And my favorite.
Okay.
Number 1, The Hot Chick,
oh
2002
God.
With Rob Schneider.
It's me, Jessica! Boys are cheats and liars. They're such a big disgrace. Yeah, oh my God.
So it's where the cheerleaders, and he's, you know, he's Jessica, but he's in a man's body. She's in a man's body. She's in Rob Schneider's body. And there was like that whole thing where it's like the pillow fight, and he just is like nailing him, like knocking him out, like one by one, like, they're just like, I love it so much.
Yes, he has a straight up like Santa's bag, and he's beating them with it on their like flying off the bed.
Yes. Yeah, they're like flying in the air.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Oh, I love it. But that was pillows. Sorry, it's
fun. No, that's super cool. You know, the only thing that I've ever known about pillows is like geishas have a special kind of pillow mm-hmm. for that big decorative hairstyle.
Yeah.
And it has like a tiny bit of bran in it just for like a little support, but that it's a very high neck cradle, like almost to where their head's pushed forward.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not comfortable is what all the history books said, but that's all I knew. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, when my tummy hurt the other day, I fell asleep on the couch with a decorative pillow.
Yeah.
Pillow side pillow. And I woke up and I was like, ow.
Oh,
like
no.
My neck was all, oh, it was like so bad. But anyways, well, there's pillows for you.
I liked that though. It was cool.
Thanks.
You do a good job.
I try. I always do.
Okay. So it's really funny because whenever, you know, we personally try to do cases that we've not heard of before,
mm-hmm.
you know, and which makes me laugh because I actually looked it up today. Like, when did I start? Like, I got into this stuff with my mom because she started watching Cold Case Files when it came out. And I was like, when did it come out? January 1st, 1999.
Oh, really?
So we would have been like 11. Mm-hmm. We would have been about 11.
Yeah, yeah.
You would have been almost 12.
Yeah.
And so, like, I've been watching this stuff a long time with my mom, and I do find it really interesting. So whenever I come across, like, wow, I haven't heard of that,
mm-hmm.
it's always really interesting. It's interesting to me. That sounds terrible, but it's few and far between sometimes when it's something that ended up being pretty, like, holy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so...
Oh, so is this a cold case?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I almost did a cold case. But I changed my mind
because
they drive me crazy too. And I was like, nope, I don't want to think about this for the next like 2 months.
Yeah. So this, I'm just going to call it, is just Angela Stolt.
Okay.
April 3rd, 2013, Deltona. I struggled with that. My brain kept going Daytona.
Daytona. Deltona?
Del, like a delta.
Oh,
yep, Deltona, okay. Florida, which is in Volusia County. The police get a phone call from a woman named Candy Medina, and she is reporting that her partner, 36-year-old James Schaefer, has been missing.
Okay.
This is super out of character for him. And we all know, like, you hear those where the mother or father, whoever, is like, they would never run away. Mm-hmm. They would never just leave. He was the sole provider for their family. They were not married, but they've been together 17 years.
Yeah.
And they had 3 children. They depended on him. He would mm-hmm. not do that. And she knew it.
Jacketing up and leaving.
Right.
After almost 18 years.
Right. With
kids.
No sign. Yeah. Everybody's happy. Like, what the hell is, you know, so she's worried. Surprisingly, police actually do take it seriously. Usually they'll make you wait a while.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, they're an adult. They can mm-hmm. do what they want to do, like call back in, you know, 48, 72 hours. But they mm-hmm. took it pretty seriously, which is cool. I appreciate them for that. Friends and family are immediately questioned, including his boss. Jimmy mm-hmm. is a limousine driver for a private company. And his boss, his name is Peter Harrington. He was the last person who had seen him that day.
Mm-hmm.
He said that right after he had come back from a work trip, it was really pretty quite late at night, a dark car had drove up and he heard a man's voice
mm-hmm.
yelling like, you know, hey, get in the car. And, you know, Jimmy got in the car and they drove off. They didn't speed off. They just took off.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Peter said he didn't really think that it was like a super shady kind of a situation, but it was odd to, you know,
yeah.
It was kind of odd. And then that was it. You know, it was pretty well known that Jimmy owed people money.
Mm-hmm.
He had a gambling addiction. And so he had creditors, which is funny because it's like a loan shark, you know, that's what they call them. That's not legal. And so he kind of maybe chalked it up to something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Peter had loaned him money before, a lot of money before, excuse me. So mm-hmm. annoying. And so, you know, he knew what it felt like to, you know, be frustrated, but it just seemed like, you know, someone just came and got him and didn't seem like a huge thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Whatever, it wasn't a big deal. The next person that they interviewed is a mechanic that wasn't mentioned in what I've seen, mm-hmm. Which is his prerogative. You know, he had nothing to do with it. And he had before seen Peter get Jimmy up in a headlock and hold some kind of a sharp object to Jimmy's throat during like an altercation because of money that Peter had loaned him previously.
Okay.
So, you know, they're talking to people. They're getting some information. in the neighborhood. Man, I had even written down like the little cul-de-sac thing they lived in. It was like mm-hmm. something court. It was cutesy. In the neighborhood that they live in, because they've been there a really long time, uh-huh. they are close friends with a woman named Angela Stolt. She's 46 years old, currently a single mother, and she has two children, a 17-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter. Like we've mentioned this before, like I don't need to mention their names. They're not involved. Yeah. And I just always tend to mm-hmm. leave that out. And they live like just kind of diagonally across the street from Jimmy and Candy and mm-hmm. their children. And the kids have grown up and played together and like everybody's cool. But Angela is pretty quiet, keeps to herself. People kind of think she's weird because she has a lot of health issues and it gives her a lot of stress and anxiety. Uh-huh. So she kind of already just has the weirdness about her. So they're kind of like her only friends too. Mm-hmm. So the police, after questioning from different people in their families, come to find out that Angela is the payee for James's Social Security disability. Mm-hmm. So what that is, if you don't know, it's like someone is receiving money from the state and for whatever reason, they are not deemed 100% capable of being responsible for their own finances. Okay. So it's handed off to a payee. There's another name. I can't think of it. And they handle that for you. Mm-hmm. And so they have a bank account together for this.
Okay.
You know, everybody kind of finds that really odd because, like, why not hit the partner and mother of his kids? Mm-hmm. Because she didn't work. Because sometimes if people are trying to commit, like, disability fraud and you're trying to hide, like, your finances, mm-hmm. you will try to separate it. But there wasn't no need. There wasn't a need for that because Candy didn't work. She was a stay-at-home mother for uh-huh. their kids. So, you know, it stands out to officers as being really kind of strange in general anyway. So mm-hmm. they bring Angela in for like more questioning outside of just talking to her at her front door at her mm-hmm. house. So she has had a really rough life opposed to James. I'm sorry. I meant to say he had a good life. Brother, sister, parents, grew up in Pennsylvania, I believe.
Okay.
And her life was different. I can't remember because it doesn't matter that much, but she was born in like Malaysia or something because her dad was in the army.
Okay.
Yeah, her dad was in the army and her sister April were moved around a whole lot. That's always really rough.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of April was her older sister and took care of her a lot. Angela was born with a completely missing thyroid. Mm. So if you don't know a lot about anatomy, thyroid regulates everything in your body outside of like your pituitary gland and then your sexual hormone organs.
Mm-hmm.
Your thyroid does a ton for men and women for your metabolism.
Yeah.
And so she became very, very deficient in basically everything, really sickly as a very little girl. And at some points was just too physically weak to even walk anymore. Mm. You see her as a very skinny, frail person.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up being so sick that she dropped out of school by like the 9th grade. And one symptom of thyroid or lack of it when you don't have those hormones is mm-hmm. like psychosis, anxiety, severe depression, because people who have Graves' disease will end up with like crippling anxiety issues. It can't be helped. It's crazy how much it affects the brain.
Yeah, I had just recently, as you know, got my thyroid checked mm-hmm. and everything, and my hormone levels, because I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and it's always best to double check as a woman of childbearing age. Our hormones are bananas still.
Because you literally get the results back of like what cycle you're in.
That's
as a woman. But yeah. Yeah, I like had to get my thyroid checked and everything, but
because it can cause a lot of stress and anxiety. Yeah,
and that's what I thought. Maybe
it's not controllable outside of mm-hmm. like your hormone being balanced. So even if you're on medication, it's not going to help because it's a hormone, not a neurological or, you know, mental health serotonin type of imbalance.
Yeah. So yeah, it's crazy how much the thyroid mm-hmm. affects everything.
Mine's
fine, by the way.
Yay!
Mine's fine. I'm just a little vitamin deficient.
Oh, crap. I forgot to bring those potassium. I know. I'm
low in potassium and B12. That's it.
So, you know, unfortunately, like, that really sucks. She had a lot of stress, and what ends up happening is she just figured, like, I'm just going to move on with my adult life. She ended up marrying really, really young. That didn't work out. She had two failed marriages by the age of 23. Oh. And she was currently separated from her third husband, who actually was alive but had just disappeared on her like a year and a half ago.
Oh.
So, like, there's nothing fishy about it. Just like, no, bye. He just took off. Yeah. Yeah. You know, which is sad, but unfortunately people do that. Well, you know what?
Sometimes it's better than sticking around and making her life miserable. Or,
and your children.
You know. Yeah, yeah.
So, because she did kind of make it seem that it was an abusive relationship as well. Mm-hmm. So she was kind of just moving on.
Yeah.
So, like I had said, she had explained to the detectives that were talking to her, people don't like her. She doesn't have a lot of friends. Jimmy and Candy and the kids, they're all really close. And that she, you know, why are you the payee? And she said, I really didn't want to do it, but I'm struggling financially ever since my husband left. She does like odd jobs, types of, you know, cleaning, whatever she can.
Yeah, yeah.
But so Jimmy felt bad for her, you know, and the children. And so he wanted to help her out. So his idea was that they were going to open a shared bank account together, and that he would deposit his checks, which was like $1,100. And she could have $100 from it as being the payee. And this bank account had a cash advance option on it, which is really similar to an overdraw. So like if you overdraft it. So it's like letting you borrow against it because you have a consistent amount of money.
Yeah, because you know it's going to be in the... Yeah, yeah.
So it made her really nervous because she has anxiety and she didn't want to get in trouble because that's illegal.
Yeah,
you know, it's your money, not meant to be given to other people in any capacity. And and so she really didn't want to do it, but he kind of was like, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Well, it was until it wasn't, because Jimmy has a gambling addiction. So he's consistently taking money out of the cash advance with her name on it. So that is federal money. I'm really don't know how this works outside of our country, but that's federal money. So here, that's a huge crime, because if you don't pay it back, they're going to come after you and they'll take everything you own. Yeah. And then that also means his next check is going to go in and she's not going to get her $100 because it's going to take up the deficit.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really messing up her life. She has the bank calling and it's a big, huge deal. It's really stressful for her. Detectives, because they do know that Jimmy has a gambling addiction, they have people that have talked to him about, like, you know, creditors, them talking about his stress because people trying to come after him, you know, we're a little bit concerned. And, you know, one of the things I think also is that if Jimmy keeps his money separate from his wife, his partner Candy, she can't see how much money he really is in debt.
Yeah.
So in his mind, he's like, you're helping me out with $100 and you're getting her off his back probably. Mm-hmm. Because while they were very happy and stuff, what Angela will end up saying is like, oh, well, Candy isn't all sweetness and kind in that. She's kind of the problem in their relationship. Candy is. She's difficult. And it gives them problems. But that Jimmy is essentially happy in his relationship.
Well, so yeah, because he's getting the money.
Right, exactly. So Angela is really being quite weird in this interview. And she's like, I mean, she's sitting back like she's chill, but it's just weird. And she has like sunglasses inside. You know, I wear my sunglasses at night. The investigators have let her know that the day after Candy reported him missing, that Candy had actually gotten a text message from him that was saying that he was okay, but that he had to take off and hide out because people were after him. Angela had gotten a similar message, and other friends of and family of Jimmy's got the same thing too. I mean, just over a span of that day.
Okay.
One of the female detectives that is with them is like very rough with her in her like speech. She's not being super friendly, and she's like
a bad cop.
Yeah. And she has, you know, she's asked Angela, is it okay if I look at your phone? And she's like, yeah, she hands the phone over. They're looking through text messages. She's like, you know, are you deleting messages? Because like all this stuff it doesn't make sense. She just like tosses the phone across back to her. And so she's kind of like zoned out looking through her phone. She doesn't seem like she's the brightest You know, she's like, just zoning out. And the lady's like, hey, give me the phone. You need to pay attention. Like, she's getting scolded like a child. Like a child. It's really weird. And it doesn't seem like it really helped them out very much. I know. So to her answer of if she deleted text, she's like, no, I don't. No, I don't think so. And she's like just kind of. Yeah. So they now get to her story. She says that she saw him on the 4th in the morning at Winn-Dixie, which is a little grocery store chain that's in the south here in the United States.
I wish we had a Winn-Dixie.
I know, right? What a cute name. And like, or like the Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah.
Such a cute name. And she said that the very next day she got a call from him. So that would be April 5th. She got a call from him and she told him, you know, like detectives are looking for him and everybody's pissed and they're mad at like they're looking at me because I'm the last one that talked to you because I talk to you every day. And he's like, well, I really need a bunch of money. I need you to get out this money and meet me and give me the money. So on the 5th, he came to her house that morning. She gave him the money from the bank account. And she said that the next time she had texted him, it said that it was undeliverable and then it never went through at all.
Oh.
So they it's a long process, but they kind of wear down that while Angela and Jimmy were not romantically involved, they were together sexually just whenever they kind of felt like it.
Oh, okay.
Like friends with benefits, but they weren't into each other really like that.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, not a huge deal, but that is something that they figure out, which sucks because that's gross and disrespectful to the person she's friends with.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of messed up. But they also said that, I don't know, with Candy's behavior and so maybe she just didn't give a crap. I don't know. You really don't know.
Maybe.
So this is when they find out that her husband had taken off a year and a half ago, and they kind of joke about it because he calls her. So like supposedly her ex-husband, you know, they're separated, but her ex-husband calls her just to kind of check in because the children, whatever, but like he doesn't want her to know where he is. And then they find out that him and Jimmy are best friends.
What?
Yeah. And so they're like, well, does he maybe know where Jimmy is? And she said, I don't know. He might, but he doesn't talk to me about it. So they have a cigarette break. They're pretty nice to her with, you know, letting her have sodas and getting a snack and cigarettes and stuff because that keeps them relaxed. It's going to keep them talking.
Yeah.
And when the detective comes back, sorry, I fudged this up. I had watched and read so much stuff.
No, it's fine. I mean, I messed up mine.
The detective comes back after the smoke break and he's like, so I have some information and it's leading me to think that Jimmy is probably dead. And she's, what? Yeah, she's like sitting there and she seems like unaffected sort of, but just like, you know, she says like, what are you talking about? And there's like a warble in her tone. You can hear it, but physically there's not a lot of reaction.
Yeah.
And so, they think that possibly was it drug involved. So they're asking, like, have you ever driven him to pick up, like, drugs? Did you guys ever do drugs? And she's kind of like, you know, just like a little experimentation with stuff here and there recreationally. But neither of them are addicted
not like
to
a
drugs.
User. Yeah.
No, they have out, have drinks, and, you know, cocktails, whatever. But no, they're not active drug, complete, you know, addicted users. And so she's like, I mean, maybe it's possible, you know, with his limo company, that'd be a pretty good front for, or his limo job able to drive long distances and, you know,
make some stops, make some pickups.
They're pushing so hard because she was the last person seeing him and that she's their main suspect. And she's like, well, you know, it's no, that doesn't make it necessarily true just because you saw them last, but there's just so many things that don't add up yet, especially for like, he's going to need money if he's on the run. Like, you would be able to see bank account information.
Information.
Because that's also her bank information.
Yeah.
So detectives don't have anything else to ask her. And they kind of, you know, feel around like, is there anything else you want to add or talk about or anything? And we've talked about this before, that dead silence where like, you know, saying out loud like 30 seconds doesn't seem like a lot, you know, but she was silent for like a minute and 26 seconds. She's just sitting there. She doesn't whatever. And then she just is like, no, that's it. They're like, all right. You know, she's not arrested. She's just they're just talking.
Yeah.
So they keep in contact with her pretty much every day, every other day to see if like anything has come up. So there's no excuse that I forgot to tell you.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. He called a few days ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it continues, nothing changes. But on April 21st, which is so crazy, so many of my cases completely not on purpose end up lining up with like the dates that are coming up.
Yeah.
Yes. Her sister April, which is funny too, she calls 911. She is telling the operator that her sister needs to be put on a 5150, which here it's just an involuntary hold for mental health crisis.
Yes.
Because they can't make a, you know, definitive decision for themselves. Unfortunately, some people can have it forced against them because it just takes a couple people corroborating that necessity.
Yeah.
But the 911 operator, he asks her, okay, what's the problem? What's going on? She says that Angela is saying that she's going to commit suicide because she has committed a crime that the police are currently investigating her for. April is being really nice, but in reality, what had actually happened was Angela took her two children to her parents' house, and April was there, and she was in like a full, complete breakdown and was screaming, and she was kissing and hugging her kids goodbye, and she's like, I'm going to kill myself because I killed someone.
What?
But her sister and, you know, the operator is like, you know, okay, well, what did she do? And her sister, which, you know, it's her prerogative. She's like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. You just need to come here now. Because as soon as she started talking crazy, I left and I called because I don't want to be part of this.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like she's been putting her family through some bullshit with, like,
I'm sure they're, you know, like if you're really
close, you're going to be upset and scared. She just really sounded like, I'm fucking done.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get it because obviously I'm not going to say who or in what relation this family member, but we've had a family member where that's happened, where they talk crazy. And so it's like, well, if you're going to say that, I'm going to take your word for it.
Right. Because it's not a joke.
Because you don't joke about something like that. You don't say that just because. And so it's like, you're said it. For help. I'm sick of you saying it. I'm sick of you. I don't know what time is going to be the truth. And like, I'm going to hate myself if I don't say something.
Right.
So I get it. I get her family's just like, oh my gosh, just like take her. I don't know what's going on now.
Yeah. I do. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, it's terrible for her children, but at least they're old enough that they're not like little baby, you know what I mean? Like they're older teenagers. So, at least that's gotta be horrific. But, that's the only thing I can think of is at least they are just like, oh my God, what is happening?
Yeah.
But they're old enough to comprehend a situation like, that
mom's
really
not
sucks.
Really, like-
yeah, of course. Because like when you're fully crazy, you could say whatever, you know, there are people walking down the street around here having full conversations with people living their best life and there's nobody there.
As if they're talking to someone on Bluetooth and they're not.
Exactly. So Angela is detained under the Florida Baker Act, which is what is their 5150 laws called the Florida Baker Act for her safety because she seems completely unstable.
Yeah.
She's hysterically crying, screaming over and over and over that she's sorry. And Detective Brady, he's one. I wrote it down. He's one of the males in the beginning. I couldn't remember the woman's name because she pissed me off so bad. I get it. But like, that's not the way. Like, you know, that's not the way.
No.
It's like arguing with a toddler. Like, why would you treat them badly? You're not going to get anywhere with that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get what you want.
It's like stooping down to their level.
Exactly. Yeah. So Detective Brady is with her because he's pretty good to her. And so this is one of the people that's helping detain her because she's not being arrested. You know, she is being detained for her mental health.
Yeah.
So she's being taken to a crisis center, not a prison, but he's there because he's got to be there in case she says anything, even though she is not capable of being Mirandized.
Mm-hmm.
Anything she says is still something they can hang on to. They can't use it if
no,
she says
it's,
something.
They could
but
go
it's,
off of it.
Mm-hmm,
like,
exactly.
Oh, she mentioned this. Let's go check this out.
Right. Like, hey, you mentioned this. Were you mentally aware of what you were talking about? Or was that just nonsense? And maybe they can recall it. So
or
he's
she's
there.
Like in a manic state and I buried his body in the desert.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
over
yeah.
here. And they're like, well, let's just go check this out.
Why
just
not?
In case.
We'll just go check. Exactly.
Yeah.
For sure. So while she's being led out to like the crisis center, she kind of leans over to Detective Brady, and instead of her hysterical state that she was in, she kind of calmly, not a whisper, but just quietly says, you should have come into my house that first day.
What?
He has to wait 2 days for her to go through her her crisis center and probably get regulated back on her. I know, right?
I have literal chills in my arms.
And so
that was a full shiver.
Yeah. So, you know, they're probably re-regulating her on medication she currently takes. And I know.
Imagine that detective, like, what I know. The fuck?
So on the second day, the other detective, his name is Detective Pagliani. He visits her at the crisis center, but he, you know, double checks with her rights, her Miranda rights. Uh-huh. And she's like, yep, I'm ready. Like, let's get this out. Let's figure it out. And her demeanor is, he's very kind to her. And her demeanor is really different than the last time that they were, that she was speaking with detectives. Mm-hmm. Her tone is really even. She's sure of herself. She wants to talk, but she's so exhausted. Because again, like those manic type of states is when your brain dumps so much serotonin and dopamine, it can't function. And it's like running a marathon that you don't train for.
No.
And so your whole body, exhausted. Yeah, you can just see exhausted. It on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she's totally there. She's totally there and coherent and she's ready. So she's super sleep deprived because the stress and anxiety of what she's been feeling through these last couple of weeks have robbed her of sleep. You know, she's just panicking over and over. So she tells Detective Pagliano that she wanted to pay back Jimmy for all of the betrayals, the technically stolen money from her family, because I think I know that he was borrowing money from his own father and bled that man dry. And it was really upsetting for her. So like that's whose money was refilling this bank account as Jimmy was draining it. It wasn't even his own money.
Yeah.
So it was pretty selfish. And so because of the stress and everything, she's been struggling really badly. He's pushing boundaries. And he had the nerve to ask her father, who is dying, to borrow $4,000. And she can't believe it, but she comes with this plan. She's like, all right, I'm gonna lie. I'm gonna tell Jimmy, yeah, my dad totally is gonna loan you the money. I'm gonna get him all hyped up. And then I'm just gonna tell him it's not, just kidding. Yeah. And he's gonna be so pissed. And he's gonna feel that like betrayal because he really needs this money. Mm-hmm. Someone could hurt him. You know, those people are dirty.
Yeah.
So, she is ready. So, on April 2nd, right after his boss had seen him get picked up in the vehicle, that was her son and her daughter. And the male voice was probably her son yelling out, hey, get in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
So, see, a totally misconstrued situation.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They thought it wasn't anything. It was them picking up Jimmy from work.
Yeah. Yep. I was kind of thinking that, like, it could have been a friend, like, hey, fucker, get in.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Kind of thing. Yeah. Like, you're late. Like, what the hell? I've been waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, they pick him up and they go over to the house and they hang out and they're hanging out and they're drinking. And she says that they like to party with a drug that she's, what a prize, that she took from her dad called Flexeril. And that's like the brand name for it. And it's like a muscle relaxant for spasmatic kind of pain.
Okay.
So maybe something like muscular dystrophy, things like that.
Uh-huh.
And so it makes you real, you know, loopy. But they don't have anything to do until the next day. They're waiting for her dad to, you know, wake up for his day.
Mm-hmm.
So they're hanging out. They're, you know, it takes the whole night. They're in between stages of, you know, they don't, I mean, yeah, this is a drug, but they're not like shooting meth or anything like that.
Yeah.
So they just spend the whole day, evening and morning, hanging out, whatever. And the next day in the morning, which would be around when her dad would be awake and ready for company and stuff, she's like, come on, let's get in the car. We'll go. And she just has like a little car. It's a 95 Saturn. It's like a seafoam.
Okay.
It's like a green color and it's real little. And so they get in the car and they drive and they stop at a cemetery, which is like it's like a cemetery that also has like a really big, beautiful park. And they just are in the parking lot and they're just waiting for her dad to call. And he's like, what is going on? Like, why are we here? You know, and she's like, oh, we're just hanging out. We're just waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, he's really bringing the money, right? Like, we're going to get this money. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. And then she looked over at him and what she says is quoted, how does it feel to be lied to, Jimmy? Well, he tells her how it feels to be lied to. He freaks out and, you know, it's a small car, so he doesn't have to go very far. And he just like lunges out to her to like, it looks like what she's showing is like maybe to pin her on the thing. And like, he's screaming at her, like, how could you fucking do this? Mm-hmm. Like, this is my family. Like, we're going to be homeless. Like, how do you feel? This is your fault. Uh-huh. It's not her fault.
No,
it's his fault.
Yeah.
She did too much already. Like, it's not her fault. And so he's screaming and she's scared because, you know, he does have like a little, like I said, the temper between him and Candy. Like but she just is immediately scared the way he's reacting to her at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So in a split panic, she said that she reaches behind her because, you know, those like the ice machines outside of a convenience store, 7-Elevens. Well, there are some where you have to like hack it apart and then get it in your own bag.
Yeah.
You know, because you pull the bag dispenser out. Uh-huh. So she has an ice pick with like one of those ice bags that has like a penguin or a polar bear on it. So she reaches back behind her, she grabs it, and she rams it into his right eyeball.
Oh my God.
And this doesn't, she says this doesn't stop him though. Like, because that's the problem. Like, you can get an injury, like you can get a whole pipe through your brain and be alive.
Yeah,
this doesn't stop him at all. And the problem is that she's a really small, pretty frail person, and it's a small car, and he's not a huge guy, but he's stocky. He's solid. He's like 235. And he could have easily overpowered her. She totally knows this. So one of the things, her car's kind of like full of a lot of stuff. And one of the things that's in the back is a like makeshift tree climbing rope, because I think it's her husband's.
Okay.
And it's like a, just like a rope that has PVC pipe knotted through it, so you can hold one each handle. And so just, it was used for climbing trees. So just you hold it, loop, 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 and kind of hop up.
Okay.
And it's still like an old school method that they use in South America to climb up coconut trees and palm trees and stuff to harvest
figure
stuff.
I can figure it. I can image it. But, wow. Imagine it. I have it in my head.
But here's the thing. That's also a perfect garrote.
Mm-hmm.
So she grabs it. And she, the way that she shows herself is she kind of has to turn, slide near him, position herself, push her legs to hold him in place. And she like loops it around and she strangles him.
Whoa.
To death.
And he still has an ice pick in his
eye? He sure does.
Wow. Yep.
And so she strangles him to death. And when he stops moving, this is when she, like in her mind, to death, that he was strangled. She takes the ice pick out and she rams it in his other eye for good measure. Then here she is. She's freaking out because she's like, oh, my God, what do I do? So she like scrambles around in her car. She sees what she has. She has. It's not funny. She has saran wrap.
And so all of these things I would never have in my car.
She wraps. She kind of her car looks pretty
like a hoarder situation type thing. Mm-hmm. Right. OK.
Yeah. So she wraps the saran wrap plastic cling film around his head with the ice pick still. So she kind of like rips holes in the plastic so that it'll go kind of around it, so she doesn't have to take it out because she's afraid. So she wraps his whole head up so he doesn't bleed in the car. But this is the this wasn't crazy enough.
It gets worse.
She drives him home in the passenger seat with his saran wrapped head. Like, can you imagine who saw
driving
like,
down the freeway and you're like, what?
Right, the only thing you could, he's injured, right? In April,
happy Easter. Maybe not. Well, if her car looks like a hoarder situation,
yeah, exactly. So she drives up to her garage. She runs inside. She tells her kids, "Do not come in the garage. Like, stay in the house. Stay in your room." And she has to like push him out with her feet because she's not strong. So she kind of like kick him out of the car, into the garage, and she's just panics and she leaves him there. The next day, she tells her children, stay in your room. You guys are just going to stay there. Again, they're old enough. They're just like, whatever, it's mom, like you're being weird. Exactly, right?
Never.
So, they're but like,
stay
I mean,
in the room, you mean come out?
Like, the thing is, too, like, they like to party. They probably get sent to their room so that adults can just hang out and whatever.
Yeah.
So, she takes Jimmy's body and she dumps it into one of those, like, plastic blue kiddie pools, like the little pools that she has just brought in from outside. And she realizes that she's going to need more than that. So she ends up going to the store. She goes to Walmart. Of course, she has a fucking Walmart.
It's always Walmart.
And she buys a big bag of pool salt and she goes back home.
Okay.
So she fills another of the kiddie pools with pool salt.
Okay.
And she gets a hacksaw.
No.
Oh, yeah. And she gets to work.
No.
Yeah. So she removes all of his limbs from his body. They're completely removed. And she takes some of his pieces, including like a leg and a head and some hands. And in her mind, she figures if she puts them in pots and in the oven, she can like cook them down. Like she can char the flesh off so that it's just bones. I know, right?
I'm like, imagine that smell.
So gross. Well, the smell was horrific and she realized this shit wasn't going to work. The detective asks her, like, did the kids come out? Anything like that? And she's dead silent. The silence is the answer. So yeah, we're thinking
they probably came out. What is that smell?
What's going on? So she changed her mind. She changes what she's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And she takes all of the pieces that she has, including like the pots, all of the salt from the pool. So she's pulled that in. I saw the picture. It's like pink. It's like tinted pinky.
Oh,
yep.
Gosh.
And the hacksaw, the clothing. She rips out the rug in the trunk of her car. Because I think she had like had probably transported stuff with the, yeah, you know, the bags.
Uh-huh.
And so all of this stuff goes at the same time. Remember how I said she's weak?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. She's like this tiny little frail thing.
She gets her kids to take the bags.
No.
And help load them into the car. And she tells them it was a deer that she hit. Then her son, who's 16, 17, gets in the car with her. And she's like, we got to go dump these because we can't just put them in the trash can. So,
oh,
yep. Can you imagine when he's going to find out?
It's Troy's age.
Yep. Yep. So she explains to the detectives all of the places of the different things that she had dumped around so that they can go find them. She had dumped, like, she didn't go super far, but she did spread them out around town between parks. And she put the hacksaw, like, in a junk pile that was, like, a scrap metal pile that was just, like, off somewhere.
Yeah.
When detectives showed up, it wasn't there. So they don't think she was lying. They think someone just took it. Yeah, they cleared it out, whatever.
Could you imagine? Ooh, free tool. Not knowing it, like,
hacked
up
a body. Apart. Yeah, you're like, oh, it's probably deer meat. Like, you never know.
Oh, God. Yep.
So, one of the things she did, which, you know, this is not that dumb after all, you know, come on. But she took his cell phone. She took out the battery and the SIM card, put it in a Ziploc baggie, and put it in, like, a sign right by the signpost of a local dog park. And she kind of, like, sort of covered it with mulch a little bit. And it was so that she could come back to the phone, pop the stuff in so that it would ping off of the local cell tower.
Mm.
You know, pretty fucking smart for an idiot. She tells them that to go to the cemetery, the same place that they had parked, you know, when she played the trick on him.
Mm-hmm.
And there were multiple bags of his body. Like, there's a lot of pieces because, like I said, she's thrown away his clothing.
Yeah, yeah.
The rug was just from the trunk is just tossed, but there's the pots and pans, there's stuff there. And they find them. It's really gross and graphic, and they find pieces. They find an entire foot. So something so, like, visually recognizable.
Yeah.
Because
it
is Florida. It's April. There's a lot of pieces that are missing. And, you know, alligators probably got to stuff too.
Yeah.
I didn't actually search up that part, but the reality is they really are everywhere in, like, Georgia and parts of Alabama and Florida.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, right? So now they have finally gotten to the search warrant for her house. And when they show up, it, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff, nothing insane.
Uh-huh.
But it's like the ramblings of a psychotic person. There's, like, graffiti on her walls. There's, you know, the all-seeing eye, like the Illuminati eye. Some pentagrams, just some nonsense. Her house is filthy. It's really gross, kind of like a grody, filthy, not necessarily a hoarder, just very unclean people in general. So they're looking around and they see some possible blood evidence, but not really. It's just like a little smear of blood on the front cement walkway.
Okay.
And then some paper towels that look like they have brownish, you know, when blood dries, it turns a brownish, not a red color. So they collect all of this. There's really not a lot outside of the place just being really gross.
Uh-huh.
After they forensically searched her car, there was actually barely any blood in the car either. There was like tiny little blood pin spots on some of the areas, you know, that would kind of be expected from the crime, she said, around the seat console, but it's nothing crazy or huge. It's pretty clean. In like the area of her trunk kind of area, there's a little tiny bit of blood on like a gallon sized baggie that has gloves, and like there's, you know, mess in her car, but that's really about it. Angela was formally arrested on April 23rd, and she's charged with the homicide of Jimmy because she's the only one, you know, she told him.
She did it. Yeah.
And so she pleaded not guilty for the grounds of self-defense. Okay. And I was like, oh, she didn't take an insanity plea. Huh?
Yeah.
I would have thought she did, but she didn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, she ended up being held in county jail for quite a while. It was nearly like a year and a half later. So that was like the end, I believe, of 2014. She has now kind of changed her story a bit. She says that she does not remember stabbing him in the other eye, which, I mean, you know, in
it could be in a manic state or yeah, a crazy exactly.
That
state,
does make just, sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the problem was, in a calm situation, she told Detective Pagliari that she did.
Yeah.
For good measure, to make sure he was dead.
Uh-huh.
So
why would you change your story? Exactly. What does it matter?
But this video was shown to the jury. They got to see it.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, that was a confession of, she was read her rights, but she did give the confession without a lawyer, but she was made perfectly well aware that she had the option, and she did not take it until quite later in that investigation, but she did, and she clammed up, but obviously she didn't learn anything about it. The defense, you know, they argue a completely different situation than what went down. They think that probably what ended up happening is that she's just fed up with his bullshit, and it was purely greed driven, because if he disappeared, she could get all of the money.
Yeah.
All $1,100 every single month. Even if it was just for a few months, that could probably pull her out of her debt.
Yeah.
You know, and so they think that was the plan.
Probably.
She never admitted to this, but another piece of evidence that didn't work out to her, you know, advantage in any way, was there was evidence on her computer of a file folder that was titled Yummy Gore.
What?
And it was nothing but pictures of mutilated bodies and body pieces and chunks and everything. And what I'm wondering was, like, was this what she, like, looked into to, like, hype herself up for what she was about to have to deal with?
Maybe. Like, just desensitize herself a little bit so that she get the job done.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's never touched upon. It's just a
piece. Yeah, I'm like, I would want to know the timestamps of that. Exactly. Or, like, when that stuff was in, you know, searched or if it was for after the fact or
we would
right
be
before.
Screwed.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously, with the amount of stuff I have to look up and watch for this. And
seriously.
And then you type in uncensored and you're like, man, this is going to get flagged. I'm like, trouble. I need to know.
Right? Incognito mode. Don't help nobody.
No.
So what the defense shows, of course, I don't know if she thought about this or not. Video evidence. Angela going to Walmart two separate times after the crime was committed. One time with her daughter and one time with her son. She was buying cleaning products, of course. Some of the cleaning products included cement cleaner.
Oh.
And, you know, various carpet cleaners, you know, things like that. And
I guess cement cleaner if the garage floor is cement.
Exactly. But remember they said they noted a red stain in the front. So, you know, they, so that, I mean, anybody can buy cleaning supplies, but, you know, but one of the most telling pieces of evidence, hilariously, because it's not even tangible, video evidence the day of the murder showing Angela completely on her own. Can you guess what she was buying?
The ice pick?
The Saran wrap and the blue gloves.
I'm like, something used in the murder? I don't know.
Right?
Something to.
So, again, you could have, but that's just too coincidental. There's only so many coincidences in science. And so they use this and they have now considered this a premeditated murder.
Yeah. So she bought the Saran wrap before mm-hmm. she even did. Okay.
Yep. The same exact day that she was going to play this trick on him.
She knew.
Why would you leave it in your car? You take your products inside after you buy them.
And I bet you that ice pick was right. Yeah.
Yep.
Like she knew exactly where it was.
I bet you. You're right.
Probably wasn't even in the back seat. It was probably behind her back.
Ka-ching! Yeah. Right? So she is officially going to, now she's charged with first degree murder, mm-hmm. tampering with evidence, and the abuse of a corpse. Mm-hmm. So, which those freaking body brokers barely didn't even get charged with that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So her only argument that she even really gave was that she was, you know, delusional. She was really struggling at this point with mm-hmm. what she did, and that she was afraid that her kids were going to get taken away from her because she had been through nothing but trials and tribulations from men, which that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's not what we do. You know, that's not what we do. You accidentally kill someone, call the cops and be like, I fucking flipped out. There's an ice pick in his eye. He's still alive.
Yeah.
Does it suck? Yeah. But y'all mm-hmm. can figure it out later.
Uh-huh.
And nobody will be dead, hopefully, and you won't be in prison forever.
Yeah,
you
might just be charged with assault.
Because now
or
you're away from your kids for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So.
Which I'm sure the kids could care less at this point. They're like, Mom made
can
us
you believe
dispose
it?
Of a body.
Of someone they knew for most of their life.
Yeah.
Ugh. So, psychologists came back with basically, she was actually very mentally well and perfectly capable of answering all the questions they gave her. To the extent that they were pretty much like, there's no way that 3 weeks ago she was so mentally unstable. That's not true, but they were like, come on now.
Yeah.
That there was no way that she was that mentally unstable then with, you know, accounts from family and friends and other people she's around that she was that in psychosis.
Yeah.
From what she had done. So they said that, you know, she was showing appropriate behavioral reactions to the stressful situation she's in. Even if she put it through herself, they would expect her to be anxious and withdrawn and uh-huh. things for just the situation in general. So they were like, yeah, she's fine. She's pretty much mm-hmm. fine. And of course, in the end, she was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole, and she got an extra 15 years for the evidence tampering and 5 years extra for the abuse of a corpse.
Wow.
Yeah. And she even, like, I'm going to have to go look at it, but somehow, oh, the by proxy. So she must have a friend or somebody that has made a website for her. And it's just her telling, like, how she's innocent, that it was self-defense.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I'm like, you're in prison. You shouldn't
you
be able to do
that. Lure someone to basically murder them. You, what did you think was going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
She knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
That's why that ice pick was in her back pocket. No, I swear. Crazy. It's like, she probably, with the fact that she bought the Saran wrap and gloves.
Too many
stuff,
coincidences.
Too many, I really want to know the timestamps on that file on her computer.
The yummy gore.
Yeah.
I know, right?
I really
didn't find
know.
Anything, but that would be interesting.
Wow. That's crazy. I got the chills on that
You should have come to my house the first day. And that's literally what it was. Do you remember I was saying, like, they met her at her door. They were just talking about her door. If they would have went in her house and looked around, even though they would not have been able to use any of that because it wouldn't have been, like, they didn't have a warrant for it. They just would have gone in and saw it. It
Unless
would have been
she let them in.
If she let them in. But all it would have taken was them going in and his dead body was in the garage still. And there would have been, like, evidence still in the house.
Wow.
That's got to suck to be one of those
police
officers.
That's why I got the chills. I'm like, could you imagine? You're like, fuck, come on.
Luckily, it was, like, only a few weeks, but.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It gets sadder. Not worse, but just, like, they never found his head or his torso.
I was wondering, like, what, how much did they buy?
Not a lot. There was a lot of those bags. It was just, like, you know, pots are bulky. So she was, like, to make it more lightweight, it was a lot of bags, but not a lot. Yeah, they really didn't. There was that whole foot. There was, like, a human leg bone in a really nasty pot that they found, like, bits and pieces, but no skull and no torso.
That's so sad.
I was, like, the head part I can understand, and they tried really hard, but the head I can understand because it's smaller and actually easier to
crush. But a whole torso?
A whole torso, and I'm like, it's got to be gators.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Wow, that was crazy.
Right?
That's crazy. That got me.
Yeah.
Whoa. Wow.
This is like one of our longest episodes.
I know. You're welcome, you guys. I hope you like the long episode. Fun. That was crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, we'll cut it short and we won't chit-chat anymore.
For now.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Good job. Okay. Well, with that, stay crafty.
And grimy.
Bye.